out this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And yeah, thankful for your presence here today. 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 11. And we want to read the first three verses here. And let's see what the Lord will do through the Word of God this morning. Because the Word of God is very powerful. And the Word of God has the ability to change us and to draw us closer to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 11, and starting with verse 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee." You know, some folks are just willing to give up everything they have so quickly. And here the men of Jabesh-Gilead, the people of Israel, the people that serve the Lord, they were so quick to say, "We'll serve you, Mr. Ammonite." And verse 2, "And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, 'On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all of your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel.' And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, 'Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee.'" Praise God. Very, very odd chapter here in the Bible, and a very different circumstance, situation that developed here in the nation of Israel. Sometimes there are strange things that will come along your way and different situations that will come against you and will present themselves to you. But I want to preach this morning that God is going to be with us through all of them. Amen. And I want to preach this morning that Nahash wants your right eye. Amen. Nahash wants your right eye. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Everybody, come on, let's lift our voices this morning. In Jesus' name this morning, Lord, we're asking for your hand upon us. Let the conviction of the Holy Ghost come into this place today. Touch us, Lord. Give us victory this morning and help the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we minister the Word of God, and let it go forth with anointing and let it find its mark this morning. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And it's really good to be in the house of God today. So very, very good to be in the house of God. When we look at the way that that the Lord made us, we can see some very obvious things, and the Lord has made us with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit. And the body without the spirit is dead; it does not live. With the soul, the body, and this body and the spirit is the temporary part of us that is only going to live for a short period of time. The Bible says if we live 80 years, we're doing really well. And some of y'all this morning are doing really, really well. And some of us are working towards that. Amen. And but maximum, it says that we can live 120 years, which when you look at that in the light of eternity is a very, very small blink of the eye in comparison to the time that we're going to spend in eternity. The body and the spirit and the soul are interconnected somehow, and I don't think that we all understand the intricacies of that, but we are connected somehow. What we do with this body has a way of affecting our soul. And what God does with our soul when the Lord saves us and the Lord fills us with His Spirit, there is a change in this body that takes place, how we live our lives and how we think and how we react to situations and how we come up with problem solutions and all of those kinds of things. And so we are interconnected with the spiritual. We are fleshly and we are carnal, but there is a side of us that is spiritual. If everybody in this world could understand that, we would understand those times that we feel depressed and we don't have any reason to be depressed, or we feel like there is something more and we don't know what that is. It is really the spiritual side of us that is crying out for God. Amen. It is the spiritual side of us that is reaching out to eternity. Amen. If everybody in this world could understand that, we would have a tremendous revival in our world. The reason that there are so many problems in our world today and so many addictions to so many different chemical things that will give us a high is because it is the soul of man that is reaching out for satisfaction. It is the soul of man that is reaching out for something that is higher than the flesh can take it. Amen. And so we are interconnected. And so what we do with this body and what we do with our mind and what we do with our spirit is very, very important, because what it does is it affects our soul. Amen. In other words, what we do with our life, it is very important that we do righteousness and that we do what is right, because when we do that which is not right, it affects our soul, and it makes the soul dirty, and it makes the soul corrupted, amen, by sin and by rebellion and by things that are not of God and that God is not pleased with. And so when we look at this body of ours, we have some things that God has given us, and God's given us a couple of ears. Amen. I think everybody here this morning has two ears. I see two ears on just about every head here this morning. And those are sensors that allow information to come into us, and we listen to things, and it is very important that we guard what we listen to. And somebody could say amen, because what we listen to goes into the mind and it affects our soul. It can affect your soul. I heard a young man one time on the radio, and he was talking about rap music. And he was a part of a gang, and before they would go out and get into fights and go out and kill people or go out and steal or whatever it was that they did as a gang, they would listen to rap music, and it would get them all excited, and they would become angry, the rap music, because of the way that it is made and the way it pounds on you. And kind of slaps you, you know. After a while, it puts a spirit of anger inside of you. And he said that he had to get away from that completely and not listen to that anymore. There are some things that we listen to that can make us depressed. Some things that you can listen to that will make you cry. Some things that you can listen to that will make you joyful. Some things that you can listen to that will inspire you. Amen. can be very, very positive things. And so God gave us two ears. God gave us a nose. Amen. And it It's for smelling, of course, and I can't do that anymore. The Lord took my nose away. Even though it's there, it doesn't work anymore. And so I can't smell anything. If we go by a dead skunk on the road, I can't smell it. There's nothing that I can smell whatsoever, except a few things that Sister Worst cooks. I can smell that. Praise the Lord. So the Lord took all the bad away and gave me all the good. And that one is probably not so important that we need to spend a lot of time on here this morning. But we have the sense of touch, we have the sense of taste, and we have two eyes. Everybody said our eyes. Our eyes. And this is really what we want to talk about here this morning, because the Bible talks about our eyes in quite a few different places. The Scripture brings out the importance of what we allow into our eyes. And this Scripture, the story that we read or started to read here this morning, actually it goes through the entire chapter of chapter 11, and you may want to read it when you get home today and get the full gist of the story. There was a man named Nahash. And the name Nahash means a snake or a serpent. Now, that's pretty obvious what Nahash represents. He represents the devil. Amen. And the devil is the serpent, that old serpent, that snake that was in the garden. And he is very subtle and he is very wise. He understands all of the things that we're talking about here this morning. He is not ignorant of where we are and how weak we are in this body of this flesh. And so so he came along here, Nahash the Ammonite, and the Ammonites were the ones that refused Israel. The Ammonites are the descendants of Lot. They are the descendants of Lot and the incestuous relationship that Lot had with his two daughters. And that is where the nation of Ammon came from. And they were a people that God was not pleased with at all. They were far, far away from God, and they did not like the people of God. And they were always wanting to come against the people of God and to destroy them, the snake, the serpent. And so Nahash here, he came up and he encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And Jabesh-Gilead, the name Jabesh-Gilead means a heap of testimony. Praise God. And I wonder what that testimony is about. That testimony, of course, is the testimony of the Lord. Amen. And I wonder this morning if anybody has a testimony here this morning of what God has done in your life. Anybody here this morning have a testimony of what the Lord has done in your life? And if we were to start at the back and work our way to the front, everybody would have a testimony of what God has done. And we'd be here a lot longer than 11:30 or 12. Amen. And we'd all be excited, and that's why the Lord tells us to give our testimony to people and to tell people what the Lord has done in our lives and how God has blessed us. And it's a very important thing to testify of the Lord and to testify of the good things that God has done for us. Amen. And so here comes the snake, the serpent. And he comes against the testimony of the people of God. He goes directly to Jabesh-Gilead. He didn't go anywhere else, but he went to these people knowing that if he could get their testimony, then he could get them. Knowing that if he could just affect them in some way, in a way that would affect them from now on, in a way that once he did this to them, he would always have control over them. And they would not be able to fight against him. They would not be able to resist him. And so he starts out here with him coming against Jabesh-Gilead. And the men of Jabesh came out and they said unto the serpent, make a covenant with us. Amen. Mistake number one. Now, folks, we cannot make a covenant with the devil. A covenant is an agreement. We can't make an agreement with the devil. And this didn't really have a whole lot for Israel. They said, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And they were ready to give up the fight before they ever started. I don't know about you, but there's some things worth fighting for. And there's some things that are worth striving for, and that is our testimony and the things that the Lord has done in our lives. The enemy wants to destroy that testimony, and he wants to affect us. Now let's look at what he said here. Verse 2 of the scripture that we read this morning. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all of your right eyes. Wow. He wanted to gouge out everybody's right eye. Now, he didn't say, I want you to be blind, because if they were blind, they wouldn't be able to work, and they wouldn't be able to produce goods and services for him. And so he said, just the right eye. And we know that God gave us two eyes so that we could see depth perception, so that we could focus on things and see them in a proper perspective. I remember one of the preachers on the East Coast where we were pastoring, he had one eye. The other eye was a glass eye. And you could tell that he was handicapped in a certain way. He had to watch a certain way. He had to learn how to walk and to perceive the depth of things. He actually drove, but it was more difficult for him. And certainly, if you're in battle and you're fighting against somebody else, and you only have one eye, you are at a great disadvantage. And 9 times out of 10, or probably all of the time, you're going to lose the battle because your enemy or your opponent has the advantage over you. Amen. And so he focused on their eye. Amen. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And let's look honestly at the Word of God here this morning. 1 John 2 and 16, back towards the book of Revelation. Praise God. I'm excited to hear some pages turning here this morning. Read that for us, Brother Reed. All right, so when the Bible talks about the eyes here, it talks about the lust of the eyes. And it says that it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And so by the nature of this flesh that we are residing in, we have a tendency to want to look at things. We check out our world and we look at things. When God made the garden, he put the tree of life in the garden, and he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. And God said, don't eat or don't partake of that tree. And the Bible says that when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. The Bible says she took of the fruit and she ate it, and the rest is history. Amen. And so when we look at this situation of our eyes, the Bible gives us here the understanding that it is very important what we look at. That it is very important that we have a proper perception, that we're not handicapped in our perception, that we don't think that we're looking at something this way and it is actually a little bit different than the way we're looking at it. And that's what happens when your perception is off. You cannot judge the reality of the situation. But folks, we've got to be able to judge the reality of the situation. We cannot go romantically through life and believing and hoping that everything is going to be all right. We've got to look at things in reality, and we got to look at it realistically. What is right in the eyes of God, and what can hurt us? What can hurt our children? Amen. What can affect us in a negative way in our relationships? What can hurt us? And we stay away from those things. We don't look at those things because by the nature, as I've already said, of how we are created, our body and our soul are interconnected. Let me show it to you here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. Let's turn to this one. Praise God. Matthew 6, 22. All right, read for us this morning. Read. And there's an exclamation mark at the end of that, I believe. And if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It is an exclamation point which says that darkness is very powerful. Amen. And so the eye, amen, the light of the body is the eye. And so we can light our body or we can make our bodies dark. Amen. Are y'all with me? We can get the light of truth in us, or we can put darkness in us. And when the darkness comes in through the eyes, and then really this scripture verifies here, and it lets us to know that the gateway to our soul is through our eyes. And we can inject darkness into our soul through our eyes. It's a gateway. It's a door. Amen. Just like your ears are a gateway or a door that opens up and goes directly to your soul. And so so the eyes here are the gateway to the soul. And if we have a single eye, in other words, we're not injecting into our body, or rather into our soul, the world and God at the same time. Amen. You can't do that for very long. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. We must serve the Lord. Amen. And the greatest commandment says to serve God with all your heart and mind. Is the word mind in there? I believe it is. To serve the Lord with all your heart and with all of your mind. And so we must feed our mind. Our minds are like empty computers when we start out. Some of us, when we get older, we still are empty computers. Amen. And so we got to reprogram our mind by something that we input into our mind. Amen. We can be washed. We can reboot our mind by the washing of regeneration. Amen. By the washing of the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God and we put it into our soul, the Word of God has a way of changing us. Amen. has a way of moving us in the direction of righteousness and into the pathway of blessing. Well, praise the Lord. But if somewhere down the road we get our eye on something that is not of God, that is of this world, it is very disturbing and very scary to those of us that have been preaching the gospel for all of these years, because as a watchman on the wall, you can see the direction that it is taking us. Amen. This new modern tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And there's so many areas that covers, but information is so accessible in our generation today. And you can look up anything you want to look up in the world. All you got to do is a Google search, and there you are. It's right there in front of you, and many, 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 many places that show you that title or whatever it is. There are so many YouTube clips of this, that, and the other. And the Bible doesn't say that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was all bad. It was the tree of the knowledge of good. Amen. It had good in there, but it had evil in there too. And God said, don't touch it. And there is one reason that they were not to touch it, is because they did not have the capacity to know the difference between good and evil. There was no way that they could filter out the bad, because once they started looking at it, there are many, many times that injected in the bad is a little bit of good. And it has that way of corrupting and leading us into a bad direction. And let's face it here this morning, folks, we have a tendency to go to the bad. Somebody give me a good Baptist nod this morning. All right. Praise the Lord. You say, oh, no, everybody's good and all of that. Well, just look at the little ones we got running around here. And they're just learning how to talk. Just learning how to talk. And you ask them, did you take that cookie out of the cookie jar? And they'll go, uh-uh. And they'll lie to you. That doesn't mean they're little devils. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. When they fall asleep, they get little halos over their heads. And they look so angelic. Amen. And all the, you know, the blankets and everything. And it's such a beautiful setting. Amen. And then when they open their eyes, that little halo disappears and little horns pop up. I don't know what it is about that, but it happens. Amen. And it's because it is in our nature. Well, praise the Lord. Don't be astonished if your child tells a lie, because you probably did when you were a kid too. Amen. And it doesn't matter where you're raised. It doesn't matter if you're raised in the church. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Amen. Because it is in the nature of this flesh to do wrong. Praise God. And if you think your kid can do no wrong, you're headed for trouble. Praise the Lord. Because you're being deceived. No, that's off the subject here this morning. God help us. We're already going off in another direction. But the truth of the matter is that we must guard against evil influences in our lives. And to the extent that we can, it's impossible in our generation to stay away from it completely. But dear Lord, help us. We don't want to go on a Google search for it. If it pops up, that's one thing, but let's not type it in and go searching for it. Amen. Because we have a soul to protect here. Amen. We have a part of us that is going to live forever. David said in Psalm 119:11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, how did David get the word in his heart? Well, there's really only two ways that I know, and that's through your ears and through your eyes. You listen to the word of God through the preaching and the ministry of the word, and you read the word with your eyes. And those gateways open up the doors, and the word of God comes inside. And David said, I have hid it in my heart. And that really has the connotation there that David memorized the word of God, that David read it over and over until it was something that he remembered, that he could pull back up at a later time when temptation came against him. And even David sinned against the Lord, and it was a great sin that David sinned. He was hiding the word of God in his heart all the time. Friend, it is very, very important that we understand what the snake or the serpent is wanting to do against us. Amen. And Satan doesn't care if you come to church. That really doesn't matter to him. He's fine with that. He doesn't care as long as you don't have a good perception about things. If you want to come and sit on the pews, and just go through the motion, he's not going to be too worried about that, because there's a lot of folks that do that. They come to church on Easter, and they come to church on Christmas or New Year's or whatever, and he's not worried about that. I was talking to a pastor here the other day, local pastor, and he said, you know, our folks just, you know, they haven't been coming to church as much, as they used to. And he said, used to, they'd come to church four times a month. And he said, now they only come one time a month. And that made him concerned. Amen. And I didn't say anything. And I said, well, we come to church 12 times a month. Amen. Three times a week. And then when we have revival services, we add on top of that. Praise God. And we get excited about it. And then we have prayer time at the church for family prayer. And Lord, we love this place. And we love to come to the house of God and to worship the Lord. Amen. He doesn't care if you come to church and all that, as long as you just have a little bit of partial blindness. As long as he doesn't want you blind, that's not convenient, because then he's got to lead you around everywhere you go. He wants you to be able to do things and all of that, but partial blindness, amen. He wants your depth perception to be off a little bit, and he wants you to really not look at that scripture that we read there, 1 John 2:16, about the lust of the eyes. Amen. It says, it is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. And so when we get to eternity, somebody said, when I was growing up, a friend of mine said, I don't want to go to heaven. That's where all the boring people are going to be. I want to go to hell. That's where the partying's going to be taking place. And that was their excuse or their joke or whatever it was. But the truth of it is, friend, is that we have a lot at stake here today. And heaven is not going to be for the boring folks. That's where it is going to be party time. Amen. And we're going to have a lot of good fun and a lot of pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. When you look at a picture of hell, you see weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and worms that cover the person. The Satan will be covered with worms, and there's a lot of description about hell that is not very, very pleasant. And so, because it's so stark and it's so real, heaven and hell is, then Satan wants to get your perception off a little bit. Doesn't want you to look at the reality of this situation. He wants you to kind of look at it through a little different viewpoint, a little different perception here of what it means to go to church and why we go to church and what it means to be saved and to serve the Lord and all of that, and to kind of just get your eyes off of it and to look at it a little bit differently. And God help us, we're headed in that generation, in that direction this generation is. There's a church in this area, and I hear a lot from local pastors sometimes, and they said, there's a new church in Wichita, big church, and we have lost a lot of our people to that big church. And one of the pastors went over there on a Saturday night service, and they have, it's really like a show. You don't have to make any commitments whatsoever, and everything is geared to make you feel good. And so people are flocking to the places where they can go and feel good without any commitment whatsoever and without any personal application of their life whatsoever. They're willing to cast away their old relationships and go run to something that seems that, it's brand new and it's fun and all of that. Well, I believe that living for God is fun, and I believe that living for God is exciting. It's the most exciting way in the whole world. Amen. But if you truly want to live for God and you want to be saved, you're going to have to address the issue of your eyes. It's in the Scriptures, folks. It is here before us. It is presented before us here today. And what we do with our eyes, where we take our eyes, and what we look upon with our eyes. Job, who was a perfect man, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a maid. And so he understood that what you look upon has the ability to affect you and to affect your soul. David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I'm not going to set it there and look at it. I'm not going to set it there and feast my eyes upon it. And David didn't have a computer to look at. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have all of the media that we have today. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But David understood the value of not looking at something, because David cast his eyes upon something at one time, and it led him to a very, very terrible situation. He was on the roof, and he looked over, and he saw a woman. And the Bible says that she was very beautiful. And because he looked upon her, and he began to meditate upon what he had looked on, the Bible says he committed adultery, and to cover it up, he committed murder. And it all started with his eyes. Well, somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Thank God for his word here this morning. And so so it is very, very, very important. The scripture that we read there in Matthew 6:22, that the light of the body is the eye. And if your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. I believe this morning that the Lord wants both of our eyes focused on him. Satan wants one of your eyes focused on something else. Amen. And to be divided. Well, I can focus on God a little bit, and I can focus on the world a little bit. And folks, I want to tell you, all that will do is cast your perception off, because both of those are opposite. You can't really look at light and darkness at the same time. Amen. Because it's going to get gray in the middle somewhere, and that's where we lose our perception. Amen. When God puts something into us, God always puts things into us that are of eternal nature. God is interested in our eternity. And if you'll notice, whatever the enemy of our soul puts before us, it is always earthly. The Lord wants us to focus on the heavenly, but the enemy of our soul wants us to focus on the earthly. Oh, Lord, help us. You say, well, I don't look at all that stuff. Well, I want to tell you, it's leaping out at you everywhere you go. If you go through the checkout line at the grocery store, you're going to find out who just got busted for drugs, or who's getting a divorce, or who had this happen to them or that happen to them. And the nature of this flesh is to just reach over there and kind of flip through it. Ooh, wow. Hey, look at that. Well, I didn't know people could do that, you know, or I didn't know that doctors could do that to people. And I'm telling you what, friend, after a while, it gets your mind to going. And when your mind gets to going, it doesn't get to going on Holy Ghost and heaven and the love of God and salvation and that checkout person that needs the Lord. No, we're thinking about what Cher and Sonny did, or Lord, help us. And half the time, it's not even true anyway. I remember when our former president, Bush, was president, I went through the checkout line and said, Laura and Mr. Bush, forget his name, George. George and his wife going to get a divorce. Well, they didn't get a divorce, but there it was. Amen. Now, I went in there the other day, President and Mrs. Obama getting $100 million divorce. Nobody's heard about that. That's just in the paper. They want you to buy their paper. Amen. And then you'll see something in there, space alien born to Oklahoma lady or something. I didn't mean to pick on Oklahoma folks. Amen. Sometimes it's Ohio or Pennsylvania or maybe even Kansas. Who knows? And the first thing you want to do is, oh, I got to see that. Wow. I went and visited an elderly man here in Augusta many, many years ago. And he said, oh, it's going to get bad. He said, the sun's getting ready to go out. And I said, really? How about that? And yep, sun's going to go out. I said, well, Mr. Fike, I said, how do you know that? I read it in the newspaper. Really? Have you got that newspaper article with you? I sure do. And he went back and got it out, and it was the Star or whatever it is that you buy there. And there it was on the front page, the sun's getting ready to go out. Well, the sun's not out, folks. It's still burning. Amen. And everything is all right. And yet the enemy puts it all right there. Have you ever noticed that they don't have any Bibles right there at the checkout line? Anybody ever notice that? They don't have the recent Bible study by Pastor Wirtz right there that you could buy for $3.99 or whatever. They just don't have it because The nature of this flesh is not to go that way. It is to go the way of the world. And we can laugh about this and talk about all of this, and yet we must admit that it does affect us. Amen. Because in those magazines, the only ones that are most desirable are the slim and the trim, and the latest weight loss plan, and you got to buy this product if you're going to be happy, and all this stuff, and it fills up a whole internet, and it's just stuff. And when it's all said and done, and you've spent all that time looking at all that stuff, you're less spiritual, and you haven't even talked to God about any of it. It's the truth. It really is. And there is so much I could talk about here this morning. But Nahash came along. I'm still talking about Nahash this morning. I really haven't gotten off of that. But he came along and said, I'm going to fight against you. And the people of God said, well, let's make a covenant. And this is what the enemy is going to do if you try to make a covenant with him. He's going to say, well, listen, you're going to have to thrust out one of your eyes. On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all of your right eyes. Amen. And so the men of Jabesh-Gilead, they went through the land of Israel, and they said, what are we going to do? This is a bad day here. He is telling us that we have to have all of our right eyes thrust out, and we know what that means. We are going to be a reproach, and not only will we be a reproach, but we will never be able to fight against them because they will always have the upper hand. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I really don't think that we need to be in that position here today, but I believe that what we need to have is a keen sense of perception. Well, praise the Lord. And we need to be able to perceive what something is of. Let me explain here this morning. Your children are going to play with other children. Amen. The people that you work with, something that you may come across on the internet, someone that is approaching you. You need to know what kind of spirit they're of. I don't want to over-spiritualize this here this morning, but there is a spirit that emanates from things that you look at. And that spirit is going to try to affect you, to move you, amen, to make you look at things a little bit differently than you otherwise would. One of the ladies in the church in Boston, she was talking to an elderly couple outside of the front of the church, and all of a sudden, a horror came over her. She was deathly afraid, and this was a very nice couple. They were talking so friendly and so kind, and yet when she felt this, she turned around because she was talking to the lady, and when she turned around, the man had her boy in the trunk of the car, had his hand on the boy's head and his other hand on the lid of the trunk. They were getting ready to steal her boy, but they were talking so friendly and they were so kind and respectful and all of that. But thank God that she had the Holy Ghost, and God helped her to perceive the reality of the situation. Praise the Lord. There is a reality in every situation. There is a reality of what the spirit is of. Amen. And lest you think that this isn't true, the devil is out like a roaring lion, folks. and he is out to destroy you spiritually for eternity. And he's not going to come with hardcore pornography. He's not going to come with hard rock and roll. He's not going to come with out and outright blatant lies. But he's going to do it with in a way that is kind of gray. He's going to come along and he's going to, it's not going to be something that's very evident, amen, to everyone. But there is something it's just not real clear. And the only way that we're going to be able to perceive the reality of the situation is we must have our minds clear. Praise the Lord. We must have clear minds. And we must be able to perceive what is actually taking place here. Well, praise the Lord. God help us here today. There are some things that we need to do. And so they went through all of Israel. And Saul, the first king of Israel, he got really upset. And he was out plowing in the field, and he took he killed the oxen, and he chopped them all up into pieces, and he sent all of the pieces of those chopped up oxen through all of the land of Israel. And he said, God is going to do this to all of your oxen if you don't come and fight against this enemy. This is something we got to stand up for here. We're going to get radical about this. We're going to get very concerned about this. Amen. And we're going to defeat this enemy that wants to destroy us. And some could say, well, we're not really going to be destroyed. We're still going to be all right. We're just not going to have one eye. Well, I don't know about you, friend. I like my eyes. I don't want anybody messing around with my eyes. You get close to me with a poker and you're getting ready to poke my eye out. You're getting ready for a fight. And I may not be able to fight very much, but I'm going to fight with everything I got within me because you're not going to touch my eyes. Anybody else feel that way today? Well, praise the Lord. When the enemy comes along and tries to do that spiritually, we need to feel the very same way about it. Amen. And you know, when the world comes along with all kinds of stuff, amen, we need to just sit back and look at it and say, what is this? What spirit is this of? What is the spirit of this? And where is it going to lead us spiritually? Well, praise the Lord. I'm teaching this morning, and I still got some time, so I'm going to work on this a little bit. Years ago, it was Dungeons and Dragons. Anybody know what that is? Deontay and Melissa, have you ever heard of Dungeons and Dragons? You have? All right. Did you know that there were some kids that actually committed suicide because of the involvement in that game? And they actually took on the person. They were supposed to be this person, and they received a name in the game, and it led them down the road, and there was quite a few kids that actually committed suicide because they were playing this game. Amen. Did you know that there are other games? They call them games. And I forget the name of it, but you have the ability to build your life on the computer. And I forget the name of it, but you are a particular person in this game, and you can build a whole city. You can have romantic experiences with other people that you create. And you can set up the city the way that you want to set it up. And you can live your life by this computer program. It's available. And it's been available for quite some time. Now, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers here this morning. But I want to ask you today, when this Harry Potter thing came out and became massively popular, why do you think it was popular with the world? Amen. That which is of the world is not of God. Amen, because it had magic and witchcraft and all kinds of satanic things in it. Amen, and it is very, very popular. Praise the Lord. We need to know what the spirit of something is. And when we are careless and we are ignorant, not in a put down way, but we just don't understand the meaning of some of this. Amen. We can actually let things into our home that can begin to destroy us. Praise the Lord. I see extreme examples, and maybe you don't see the extreme examples that I do sometimes, but I had the opportunity to pray with a 10-year-old boy right here in our church, and this boy had gotten involved in witchcraft, and a demon spirit was chasing him, and his sister saw it, and he saw it. And he could describe it down to the details, what it looked like. And this was up in Towanda, Kansas, Brady. This was at a trailer house in Towanda, Kansas. And the night that they became so disturbed and upset was the night that half of the house, all the electricity was on, but half of the house worked and half of the house didn't work. And this spirit, which never came in the house, was at the front door, and they both saw it. And he could feel it. And when he came to the church, he said, "I feel it pressing on my shoulders right now." And it was there. And so we prayed in Jesus' name, and God lifted that spirit off of him right there instantly. Amen. But I want to tell you, if we are not careful, we can let things into our house that will hurt us. Well, have I lost you now this morning? Amen. And I could go on and on and on here today, but there are so many different areas that in books and in media, and that's a big thing. Amen. The media and what we allow into our soul, what we allow into our soul is going to affect our soul. Amen. And so they got up and they said, "We are not going to let you thrust out our right eyes. And we're going to come out against you." Well, they didn't tell them that right up front. They said, "We want to have a meeting with you." And what they did was they separated their army into three bands. And one of them came to Nahash and said, "We're going to talk to you. We're going to discuss the matter." And when they all came out, the other two bands jumped on top of them and started fighting, and they destroyed them all. And the Bible said they had a great day. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful story? And they kept their right eyes, and they had the victory. Praise the Lord, because they were wise, and they saw what the enemy was trying to do to them. Folks, I want to tell you, the enemy would try to do that to you and I as well. But there is something that God has given us that we should focus our eyes upon. And I read one of them already, Psalms 119 and 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so the eyes, our eyes were made to look upon the word of God. Well, could I have an amen here this morning? John chapter 4 and verse 35. Let's turn to that. And let's see here. Let me get somebody else to help me this morning. Fred, get me 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Can you read loud for me this morning? All right, he can do it. Amen. Brother Reeder, John 4, 35. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. You know what we want to do? We want to look at things that are going to make us happy for the moment. We want to look at things that are going to entertain us for the moment. But what the Lord said is here, "I gave you your eyes to look on the fields." I gave you your eyes to look around and to see all of the people that need me. All of the people that need help. All of the people that are ensnared by the enemy. Amen. Oh God, help us to cast our eyes upon the field. Amen. Because when we cast our eyes on the field, we literally gain a whole different perception about what it means to live on this earth. You know what we really live our lives for in America and in the world? I want to get a better life. I want to have more of this. I want to be happy. I. That's what it's about in the majority of our society, in the majority of our world today. Right? And that's the focus of the world. That's the focus of carnality and temporal things, things that are not going to last for a long time. But when we cast our eyes upon the field, we get a whole different perception of what life is really all about. Amen. Life is not about just gaining things for the moment and then dying and going on somewhere into some cosmos somewhere. Amen. But life is about helping somebody else. Well, praise the Lord. I'm really, really hitting everybody hard. I know this morning this is a tough one. But we got to get out of ourselves. You know what most of our problems are is when we get touchy. You know, they call it having your feelings on your cuff. And somebody just barely touches you and won't you touch me. You know, this is me. And you're not gonna touch me. You're not gonna make me unhappy and all this, and it's all centered around me. Amen. But when you get centered around a worldview of trying to help other people, it gives you a whole different viewpoint of the will of God for your life and a whole different viewpoint of really what makes you happy. Because we can't be happy when all we think about is ourselves. We can only be happy when we give, because when we give, we receive back. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I want somebody to love me. Well, then start loving somebody else. Well, I don't have any friends. Well, then the Bible tells you to be friendly. Man that has friends must be friendly. And when you're friendly, if all you're talking about is yourself, you're not going to have any friends. Hey, Fred, did I tell you what happened yesterday? And 8 hours later, I'm still talking about myself. Fred's going to be thinking, man, I don't ever want to get around him again. Amen. You ever been around somebody like that? And the very second that they can, they start talking about themselves. And when they get started, it's like a rocket ship and you're not going to stop them. Amen. You got to be friendly. You got to get out of yourself. How did your day go today? And then sit and listen. I don't want to do that. Well, then you won't have any friends. But if you'll listen to somebody and you'll be friendly to them and you will be interested in their life and how they feel and all of that, and I mean, it doesn't always work, but most of the time it does. And you'll have a friend. Well, praise the Lord. You want your wife to be your friend? You want your husband to be your friend? Take the time and just listen to him. Oh, Lord, it's really getting quiet in here this morning. Amen. Because after a while, he'll start thinking, man, she really likes me. She's interested in what I'm thinking about. Amen. Well, God help us. I've already gotten into trouble here this morning. Read, Fred. Read loud. 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, Lord. He has dropped the ball this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Never Well, praise the Lord. How many times did he say look in there? What are we supposed to look for? What are we looking at? What are we trying to perceive here in this world? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that they looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm looking for something that's beyond this life. Amen. I'm not looking just to get a thrill here today and to do something that's going to excite me for the moment and make me happy just for the moment, but I'm looking for a city. And friend, there is a city. Praise the Lord. There is a city that God is building for us. And we were talking about it the other day, and Sister Netta was asking me some hard, hard questions. Amen. About that city. And does God know who's going to be saved? And does he put your name on there? And then if you don't get saved, he takes your name off, you know, and put somebody else's name on there. Amen. Well, you could go into all kinds of ideas and thoughts and things about that. And I thought, well, you know what? He's got a whole bunch of nameplates up there, and the ones that are saved, he's going to use them, and the rest of them he's going to throw away. Praise the Lord. Well, is it going to be decorated to the kind of things that I like? I believe it is, because we're his bride, and he wants to do things that's going to please us. Well, praise the Lord. And you know what? When it all comes down to it, Sister Ned, I don't have all the answers, but you know what? I do know one thing. It's going to be great. And God's going to figure it all out. Amen. In the world, they say, oh, just, Lord, help us. You know, when there's not justice in the world, they say, just kill them and let God figure it out at the judgment. But the truth of it is, folks, whatever happens in this world, God's going to figure it all out on the judgment day. And what we need to look for is not the injustices that people do against us, and not the things that are against us, and not all of these touchy-feely things in our generation. Come on, somebody say amen. What we need to do is look for a new heaven and a new earth. What we need to look for is that celestial city that God is creating and is making for those that love him. I don't know about you, I want to go there. And if looking at things in this life is going to hinder me from going there, I just want to get that part of this out of my life. Amen. And Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who's going to come on the rapture day, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may I say this morning, and I'm not trying to be controversial here. It seems like I'm being controversial here this morning. But you know what, friend? The Lord hasn't come yet. The Lord has not come. The rapture hasn't taken place yet. And there are some that say the rapture has taken place, the devil is bound, and we're in the millennium. Well, I don't know about all that. I've been fighting the devil, and I don't know about you, but he's still alive and around. And if this is the millennium and all of that, then the lion is going to dwell with the lamb, and children will be able to play with poisonous snakes, and there is not going to be war. We're going to beat our swords into plowshares, and there's going to be peace on the earth for 1,000 years. And friend, it has not happened yet. Well, praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, we need to have something to look to, and that is the appearing of Jesus Christ. Did you know he could come today? One of our apostolic ministers wrote an article that he believes the Lord could come this year. Well, you know what? I believe that too, and I believe that he could have come last year. And I believe if he doesn't come this year, he could come next year. Amen. And when somebody says he's probably going to come this year, just get ready. He's probably not going to come this year. Because when you think that he's coming, he's not going to come. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But he is coming. Brother Weimers, he's coming. He's going to come. He's going to split the eastern horizon, and we're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds, and we are going to meet the Lord in the air. But we're not going to go if we're not looking for him. If we're at the checkout line and we're looking through what Sonny and Cher did, we might hear a noise, and after a few minutes of reading, and, oh, what just happened? Oh, the rapture just happened. Oh, my, I was caught up in my magazine. I didn't even notice that he had come. Hello? Praise the Lord. So preoccupied with everything else that we miss it. Oh, God, help us not to miss it. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we shall receive a full reward, receive a full reward. Praise the Lord. What we need to look to is to yourselves. Amen. We need to fellowship with one another. And when we fellowship with one another, oh God, help us. I'm teaching here this morning, all right? When we get together, we don't need to look at each other and find out each other's faults and talk about one another and gossip about one another and all of that. Amen? Well, y'all are real quiet here this morning. What we need to do is look toward each other, and we need to encourage one another. And when someone is struggling, just tell them, listen, brother, the Lord's coming soon, and comfort one another with these words. And help one another, amen, and edify and build up one another, amen, not to put down one another. Because sometimes when we do that, it's really, really hard to build it back up again once you've torn it down. And so what we need to do is we need to look to ourselves, amen, and to fellowship. They fellowshipped in the early church. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, and we're going to finish with this here this morning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we need to look to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we look to Jesus through his word and through prayer and through seeking the will of God on a daily basis. Lord, what's your will today? What's your plan today for my life? Amen. And when we look to Jesus, when we're looking for Jesus, amen, when we're not surfing the internet, and we're not reading questionable books and magazines and worldly things are filling our mind every day, all the time. Oh, friend, we can't do that. We have to focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're going to be involved in the world. We all are. We're in this world, but Jesus said we are not of this world. I'm a pilgrim, and I'm passing through here. Amen. I don't own any of this property here. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Amen. I'm in my covered wagon, and I'm heading across to another place over on the other side of this big sky country here. Amen. And as I'm going, there's hostile people that want to stop me. But I'm just going to keep my eye on the horizon, and I'm just going to keep on going. Because somewhere on the other side, they say there's a lot of gold in those hills. That's what the pilgrims did. They got on a ship and they headed out across the endless waters. And they couldn't see land. It was over 30 days or 40 days as they crossed the waters, heading to a brand new home. Never going to go back. Praise the Lord. Never going to go back. And I'll tell you, friend, we've got to keep our eyes on the right thing. Do you agree with that this morning? Because if we get our eyes off, if we make a covenant with Nahash, with the snake, the serpent, eventually he's going to cloud your mind, going to cloud your mind, and you'll start doing things and saying things that used to you would be convicted about. And now all of a sudden it's really not that big of a deal. And then that conviction gets less and less until you find yourself way off a center and saying, how did I get over here? My good friend, Brother Scott, called me last night and was talking to me, and you all know Brother Scott. He is he's an individual, but he's a very kind and very compassionate person. And he's there in Sheridan, Arkansas, and he said there was a homeless man in town. And he took the homeless man under his wing and actually found a little trailer for him to live in, parked it behind his business where he cuts glass and that sort of thing, and helped the man, let him come to church, preached to him, prayed for him, and tried to help him, even let him do a little bit of menial tasks around the shop, and paid him for his services, and got him on Social Security, and helped him, and just went out of his way to help this man. And he said one day the man just got so upset with him that he was in the office talking to Brother Scott, and he said he started saying the most blasphemous things out of his mouth. And he said it got so bad, he said, I told him, he said, just be quiet. I don't want to hear any more that you have to say. And here was a man that love and compassion reached out for, tried to help, but he just couldn't get his eyes off of the world. And unfortunately, he told me, he said just this last week, he was walking down the highway and an automobile struck him, and he is in a coma today. The doctors are checking, doing tests to see if there's any brain signals whatsoever. And he could slip out into eternity with the last words being blasphemous words against God. I don't want to go into eternity like that. How does it happen? It doesn't happen in one giant step. It happens in little bitty incremental steps when you start to cast your eyes upon things that the pastor preaches against or the Word of God stands against that God is not happy with. One little thing after another, and before you know it, we can get way, way off center. You know what the Lord's will is? That none be lost. Amen. That all would come to repentance and to be saved. Amen. But my friend, if we're going to be saved, we've got to be careful what we look at. And if you want your children to be blessed, you've got to be careful what your children are looking at. Amen. Because all it takes is one little page of pornography for a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old boy, and his life could be altered for the rest of his life. And it is a fact. You say, well, it doesn't really matter who my children run around with. I would beg to differ with you, because you don't know what spirit they're of. And you don't know what they have in their little bedroom somewhere that they're going to introduce your son to. Amen. And a foolish parent will say, oh, you're just making a big deal out of this. You're just being too particular. No, I want to tell you, my children are very precious to me. And I know your children are very precious to you. Amen. And we need to guard. Amen. We don't need to be, well, praise the Lord. I've said enough here this morning, and I feel the Holy Ghost in this, and I know the Lord is helping us. Amen. And let's help one another, and let's focus our eyes on the fields. Let's focus our eyes on Jesus.